Okay, very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So we'll start the class now. We'll be continuing from this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. We are on page 40, and today is Sunday, 4th of July, 2021. So this began sharing is dated 19 April 2016. The title is Walking the Bodhisattva Way and the Taking of Its Vow. So I'll read to you the introduction. So this introduction is also the briefing during the pre-class before the 8 p.m. class start. We normally have some pre-briefing for those who came in earlier. So I spoke that day. We are 6 minutes earlier. While waiting for the rest, we can prepare ourselves for puja. Today, there will be no Dhamma sharing of the Diamond Sutra class. Next Tuesday also, there will be no Diamond Sutra class sharing because we have reserved this Tuesday class for our special sharing on understanding the cultivation of the Bodhisattva Way and the taking of their vows. So halfway through the Diamond Sutra classes, we have to stop for this sharing. So the two Tuesday class was used for this particular slot. There will be a special puja for the taking of the Bodhisattva vow next Tuesday. So immediately after that talk, the next Tuesday means we have the official Bodhisattva vow for those who have requested for it and also those who are keen to receive them. So at that time, that was the schedule. Those who have already developed their understanding and want to take the vow and aspiration, you can do it on that day. You don't have to worry about what people say. Like after you have taken the vow, you cannot become an arahant. So don't be foolish. And this way is going to take a very long time. So all these are people who don't understand, who base it on the thought process. These are their views, their opinion. When you cannot understand certain cultivation and practices, by nature's advice is refrain from making opinion or views that you are not sure, because it has coming consequence. That's why I wrote here, forget about all those gullible things. It's not what people think. Yes, the true cultivation is so different. The truth of the matter is this Bodhisattva way technically can only be taken by enlightened beings. But even before you become enlightened, when you have the causes and conditions and the understanding, you should start to develop the vows or the understanding to take it. Because by doing so, you have nothing to lose, but everything to gain. I will explain all this to you later, because this way is a very unique way. By going this way, you can cultivate without the mark of a self-walking, the Bodhisattva way, the mark of a self-cultivating and wanting to be enlightened, because you come for the living beings out of love and compassion for them. So this is beautiful understanding. Yeah? You are here to take the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva to save the limitless beings, to endure and severe all sufferings of a section, to cultivate and perfect all Dhamma so that you can penetrate all Dhamma to understand them. Then when you have cultivated the perfection of the first three basic vows, you would have developed a lot of wisdom, a lot of understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Then only can you clearly understand the law of karma and those other essential dhammas that the Buddha has taught us. Then only can you teach, share, and liberate living beings. Because without this understanding, you are very limited in what you can do or accomplish. So this one is for people who want to have deeper understanding of the Bodhisattva way, or the Mahayana call it the supreme vehicle to realize Sammasambuddhahood. Maybe you may think, I only need to cultivate to the extent needed to free myself, gain self-enlightenment, then that is enough. Not to say this attitude, this style of attitude is good or bad, because you have such a thought that tells you, I don't want to go this way because it's going to take a very long time. Then the self is there, the atta is there. There is this self or atta that wants to be enlightened this life immediately. When you look at it, it's actually counterproductive. Hope you all understand. You are actually contradicting yourself because you think there is a being who cultivate, who can become enlightened. This is security or self-delusion. So all this will limit you, and you will be wasting your time despite having struggled so hard. But during the Buddha's time is different, because the nature's energy then is very different. All the great beings at that time, they are all with good roots due to their past cultivation. Hence, when they come, they can understand very fast. And most of them at that time are already bodhisattvas. But this was not mentioned in the Theravada Sutta. That's the reason why a lot of these messages, a lot of these things, you cannot understand until later. So this is just a brief and short introduction and summary before we start the actual sharing of this topic. Okay, then we go to the next section, B2, Puja. We are still early, maybe we can get six of you to light the candle first. Today we shall give the honor to those who have helped out in the recordings of all this Kayamita sharing to light the candles. I will get Sister Padmasuri, Brother Tim, Sui An, Sister Mifo, Hui Rong, and Stephanie to come forward and help light the candles and prepare for puja. The rest of you can stand and gather to start our puja offering. The offering in the tray consists of clear water, incense, and candlelights. They are most beautiful or meaningful. Now we shall offer the rest of the puja item. Then we cut short by rejoicing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu means rejoicing, then end of puja offering. After that, we had our puja chanting, the usual one. Okay, good. You all can be seated first. Sister Ingby, you can put the cake back into the fridge, otherwise it will melt. Maintain some form of attention, then compose your mind and relax body and mind. Then develop the faith, sadha, and virya, and we will start the puja chanting now. So as usual, like what we have done, namo bhansi sijia moni for three times, then Namo Kuan Si three times, Namo Amitabha, etc. Yeah? Then we, from Mahayana tradition, we continue over to the Theravada tradition. We chant the Thai format. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Means we salute the Buddha. Salutation to the Buddha. Then Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Again, we salute the, we chant the salutation to the Dhamma. Then finally is the Sangha. Then after that, we continue in Namo Tassa. Then we can skip all this. Taking refuge, chanting the five precepts. Then the offering. So offering, maybe I already, it's a long time we haven't made chant this offerings because of MCO. Ganna sarapa jitena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dupena hang sugang hina puje niyang tang puja bhajanang muttamang panna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami muni rajas siri pada sarurohe puje mi bedang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vina sabhavang adivase tu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hotu mutamang. Okay, then after that we make the puja expression based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. So this one also we'll go through. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtues, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Then significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma so that we will diligently strive on with faithfulness to attain the path and friction soon as possible. Then significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the born-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be fully strengthened until they become balas or power. And finally, sharing and transform merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. then we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then after that, I told them we shall now pay respect to the Triple Gem. That's why we chant Padang Pujemi, Dhammang Pujemi, followed by Sanghang Pujemi. And after that, I told them you all can be seated. A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Tonight, before we start the sharing of the Bodhisattva way, let us invite all the devas and deities to come and partake in this particular special chanting. This one we have done. Now we will chant the invocation to the devas completed. I will read to you the English translation. For those who are new, please do listen attentively via your silent mind with the faith, and you may rejoice. So section B5 on meditation. Thank you, you can be seated. We will switch off the light and we can have about 20 minutes of silent awareness-based meditation. Then I will ring the bell. After that, you can slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we can start our today's sharing of the topic. Understanding the cultivation of the Bodhisattva ways and the taking of his vows. I will switch off the other light. For those who already know how to meditate, please proceed with the meditation. For those who still need to develop the training of the mind, because your spiritual faculties are still not developed, then you train yourself accordingly. You still need to use the mind survey method to decondition your heedless thinking, then please go ahead and continue it with loving kindness and metta to bring about the tranquility and stillness of mind, leading to inner peace, followed by inner well-being. The mind that has inner peace and inner well-being is very conducive for meditation. That's the reason why precept is a source of spiritual joy, and you keep your precept and develop your virtue. It's also the source of true peacefulness of mind. That's how you can meditate. That's also the reason why all meditation starts with sila. The last benefit of sila, or virtue, is it is the source of true spiritual wealth. Through that, you develop a mind that is conducive for receiving spiritual teaching. That's the reason why it is the source of spiritual wealth. These are important understanding after you have trained your mind to be peaceful, quiet, silent in a way within. You then have to stabilize it. The stabilization of it needs proper understanding. If your spiritual faculties are still not developed, not so stable, then you need to train your need to train this heedless mind, or mundane mind. That's the reason, I read again, that's the reason why all the techniques, methods, and object of meditation are introduced or come into place. They are just a skillful means to train the mind. You need to anchor the mind to stabilize the awareness, the sati. Hence, all these object of meditation are for you to train your mind, to stabilize the sati, to anchor your mind, not to focus, not to concentrate, and not to develop all those energy fields. It is just to maintain mindfulness or awareness. That's the reason why anapanasati is about mindfulness of the in and out breath. The Buddha never at any time said you focus on the tip of the nostril or focus on the feeling. He just said breathing in away, breathing out away. Then breathing in short breath. Oh, sorry. Then breathing in a short breath. You must also be aware. Breathing in a long breath. You must also be aware. You need to maintain and stabilize the awareness of the breath body and the physical body following our breathing. Sorry. Followed by breathing out. Experiencing piti. Breathing in a short breath, you must also be aware. Huh? Then breathing in a long breath, you must also be aware. Sorry, we missed out this one. Huh? Just now that things keep. You need to maintain the stabilize. Sorry, you need to maintain this sati and stabilize the sati or awareness of the in and out breath. Then breathing in, experiencing the inner peace of the entire breath body and the physical body, followed by breathing out, experiencing piti. Continue until the awareness becomes very stable and very clear. That is the stability of mindfulness that can allow you to train your mind to meditate accordingly. When you have stabilized all this, you just relax into it, into every mind state that arises, so that the piti will become even more refined. Piti is a type of spiritual joy or spiritual calmness or spiritual rapture. That will arise when you have trained your mind to be in sati without thought. Then as you relax into it, it becomes more refined. And then you will experience sukhang. Sukhang is blissfulness of mind, a mind that is much more refined than piti. Then you will experience this blissfulness of mind, which is very blissful, very calm, and very quiet. Then later on, if you continue to relax into it, even this sukhang will transform and become pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. This is the mind you aim to develop as you train. For those who already know how to meditate, and the awareness or sati is, For those who already know how to meditate, and the awareness or sati or the silent mind is already there, you just have to relax into it and silence everything. Then this pasati or the meditative mind, which is just aware and silent, will stabilize. After that, you can stay there. Whatever object of meditation you have, you just stop and stay there. Then you will become very subtle and still until there is no more movement and no more mind to meditate. Then that paucity or tranquility and stillness of mind or the silent mind, which is the meditative mind, will stabilize and become very still and very quiet. That is the meditative mind in sati, your true mind, your true nature. From then on, you just silence everything. Then the spacious awareness without a center can allow you to be mindful of whatever that is within, or whatever that arises within your sense bases or your sixth sense door. Upon contact, what happened? You will know, because the awareness will pick it up. Then it can be very sensitive. Then you just stay at the heart area, which is the seat of consciousness. This awareness or silent mind is the common entity or denominator that must be there whenever consciousness arises. So you stay with the awareness and maintain silence. Then whenever the consciousness arise, or wherever also can, then wherever the consciousness arise, it will be awake. This is what Tujuh Putola, Venerable Empty Scripture, was taught by the Novik monk. The six sense bases have a common denominator, which is the mind that can be aware. You just stay with the awareness, stay with the silent mind, then you will understand how you function as a human being, how your mind arises and passes away, following the law of dependent origination, the dwelling, and the essential Dhamma is strong. You will see them all. You will also understand upon contact what happened. Not only feeling arise, many other things can also arise. Then you can also see how you function as a human being, how your form and mind continuously give rise to consciousness, and how the content of consciousness goes in via your views, opinion, and your conditioning. Then from there, how you stir your mind due to your wrong view, how you react to sense experience, and how the mental hindrance or lie and dislike pleasant and unpleasant feelings, which the Buddha calls sensual desire and ill will, respectively arise. You will also witness how the three evil roots, the essential Dhamma, the five spiritual faculties, and the five mental hindrances arise, and how they pass away, how they condition you into negativity. Then you will also experience later on, as you progress, the seven factors of enlightenment, the six internal sense bases, the six external sense bases, followed by the 18 sense rhyme. You will come to understand all this, which accumulate into mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's how you can finally transcend the form and mind to realize enlightenment. We are awakening to the characteristics of nature, which are impermanent, suffering state, and non-self nature. So you just relax and silence your mind to develop all this understanding. Okay, I will let you meditate, then I will ring the bell. Okay, before we go into that, I think we can also have our meditation first, so that when we come out, we can continue from here. We stop at page 47, B6. Okay, so we will start our meditation early. We will have 45 minutes. Today we have more time. So I will off the light, then you all can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay. Just relax body and mind, maintain the silent mind. Just silence everything without thought, maintain awareness, and stabilize the awareness within to meditate, to develop the understanding. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, by come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. So after that, we will continue with the sharing. We were at page 47. So after the bell ring, that's why there is a thing three times. So the instruction is more or less the same. You can now slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. For those who still want to continue to meditate, they can go on. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Always remember you are here to train the mind so that it has the stability of mindfulness. So that it has the stable quality of sati or mindfulness within you. This trained mind is the meditative mind, that you need to use to cultivate the daily mindfulness, to be ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which is also the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Then you will become heedful, and the heedful never die, according to Dhammapada verse 21 of the Buddha. You can do all that in the midst of life, it means you are destined for enlightenment. So it's not that difficult to realize enlightenment. With this understanding, hopefully you will understand why you meditate and the purpose of meditation. When these are clear, your cultivation becomes easy. Today's talk or sharing on understanding how the Bodhisattva way can be cultivated is very important. But this is a cultivation that can help you greatly while walking the path of Dhamma. You not only will have the condition to become enlightened, but you can also develop great wisdom so that you can be a blessing to all, so that you can teach, share, and take living beings across or liberate them. Without this understanding and without going this way, it is very difficult to penetrate the true Dhamma, especially the three universal characteristics or three marks of nature. So these three universal characteristics of nature, which is impermanence, suffering state, and non-self, are very profound universal characteristics. You need to insight into phenomena and awaken. It's not just through thinking or through knowledge where you just go and think about impermanence, then give example of impermanence. No. The penetrative understanding can only dawn upon you when your silent mind awakens to it. Then suddenly you can develop the complete understanding of what the characteristic is. You will come to realize that all things in nature have this characteristic, not only a particular phenomenon. Then later on after that, the awakening is so penetrative and so strong, it will always be with your nature. Then from there onward, you will see truth all the time. Just like I always share, truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. They are in the midst of life and nature. Oh. So what are truth? Truth are universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. These are the characteristics of all phenomena, and they are all over nature. So when you can see them, you understand truth. That truth is whatever that can explain the way things are. So what are these? These are nature's law, nature's truth. That's why the Buddha's teaching is all about nature's truth, the universal characteristics, about the nature's law that governs life and existence, the Pancha Niyamas. So when you realize the truth, you awaken, you know the secret of life. So all these are very beautiful. So the three universal characteristics, you need to insight into them. You need to awaken to them to develop the penetrative understanding. And that can only happen when your mindfulness is very stable. when you have the silent mind, the meditative mind, your true mind without thought, you must realize that, and you must meditate with that. Well, that is capable of directing. That silent mind can awaken, can insight in the phenomena, and see things as they are. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, without any delusion, without any ignorance behind. Okay, so with that, I continue. When you have the wisdom and the right understanding, you will not be deluded by the phenomenal. Then you will not cling, you will not hold onto these five aggregates of form and mind. That's the reason why the Diamond Sutra said the Bodhisattva will cultivate the Bodhisattva way with the understanding that there is no mark of a person or a self cultivating. There is no mark of living beings, and there is no mark of Dhamma or life or existence. Then everything will become clear. Besides this, this cultivation of the Bodhisattva vow and the Bodhisattva way, following the Diamond Sutra teaching, will pave the way for a lot of important understanding to arise. Without this understanding, it's really very difficult to understand the true Buddha Dharma. We are going to base our today's sharing on this book, the Bodhisattva Precepts Leading to Buddhahood by Master Sun Yen Pastor. The late Master Sun Yen Pastor is actually the famous abbot of Fa Kusan, although he has passed away when he was around. He was very famous. And his way place is foremost in meditative training, understanding, and practices. That's why Dhammadharam Mountain, Fa Kusan, is the hallmark of meditative understanding and training. Master Sun Yen is the late abbot of Fa Kusan. He is from Taiwan. He is a very good monk. He is an expert in meditation. His forte in the Buddhist tradition is meditation, whereas Tsuchi, their forte is the cultivation of great compassion in life, means compassion in daily life. Meaning, in times of tribulation, suffering, calamity, major nature's disaster, they are there to relieve suffering. So they manifest compassion in action in daily life. That's how they train many of their followers to become bodhisattvas. And they call them the bodhisattvas among living beings, Zenjian Pusa, or bodhisattva within society. For Fo Kwang San, their specialty or forte is very different. They are very strong in Buddhist studies and Buddhist education. That's the reason why they can have very beautiful temples and very good teachers who can teach. All these are the different Buddhist traditions, with each doing their special work to help mankind and humanity. When you combine these three Buddhist tradition and practice, they become very complete and very good. First, if you want to learn the teaching, the Buddhist education, you can go to Fo Kwang San. After that, you can go to develop your meditation. To do that, you can go to Fa Kusan. Later on, when you are ready, with the Dhamma understanding, you can develop compassion in action. We are taking the Bodhisattva way to liberate living being. Then Tsuji is a place where you can help our Lord and have a lot of opportunity to do this activity. But then if you are a true cultivator of the way, you will have to develop all the three practices within your own cultivation. That's what my nature do. You have to learn them, then make the vow, make the aspiration, determine through power of merits for affirmation of truth or adhipan, to have this type of right understanding, right view, life after life whenever you arise. And apart from the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva, you must also have your miscellaneous vow and other type of important vows and aspirations to understand how to create affinity with great beings and seek their blessing, protection and guidance, and also how to develop what we call understanding, to ask for forgiveness, to invoke power of merits to break all coming obstruction and to move forward. So all this are in the Bodhisattva Vow yellow card that I have given to you all. You can refer to it. As a true cultivator, technically you don't have to go anywhere. Yes, you know your vows. You know how to cultivate and create affinity with all the great beings, the Bodhisattvas and the Buddha. You will come to understand all this, and you will also know how to make the appropriate aspiration. You are invoking the power of your merits, virtue and cultivation for causes and conditions for this true Dhamma understanding to be with you life after life, whenever you have to come or whenever you choose to come. All these are possible because if you look at the vows objectively, you will come to understand that these vows can provide you with the appropriate condition to develop the cultivation and the understanding. The perfection of the Bodhisattva vows will include the fulfillments of the three sets of pure precepts, which are also the advice of all Sammasambuddha. All these are very beautiful. The right view leading to the right understanding. Then you will vow with great faith and determination to have the following understanding whenever you arise. Right view with regards to the law of karma, how you function as a human being, and the four noble truths. Also, what is this five aggregate of form and mind? Who are you and what are you? You have to determine to have this understanding line of the life so that you know how to develop the cultivation accordingly, so that you will not get lost in order to cut short your cultivation and practice. You must have this determination or aspiration to have this understanding life after life. Otherwise, when you are born in whatever civilization or in any world system, if you don't have this determination or affirmation through the power of merits, you will have a lot of karmic obstruction and you will never see the light to even have a chance to connect to your true nature, especially during non-sasana time. So I explain here, this is because when there is no Buddha sasana for aeons and aeons, just like what is stated in the opening verse of the Mahayana Sutta, this Dhamma is very rare and very difficult to come by. Even in 500 million aeons, you cannot find it, unless you have the affinity and the understanding. So this is the reason why the Bodhisattva way has to be understood. Now I will read to you the preliminary general understanding of this Bodhisattva way. Bodhisattva way's cultivation followed by his vow. I compile all these notes myself. I will give you all a copy each next Tuesday when you all come for the class. The Bodhisattva way cultivation requires the taking of the Bodhisattva vows with understanding, great sincerity, and determination. The Bodhisattva vows are vows taken by the Mahayana Buddhists to realize complete enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. One who has taken a vow is normally known as a Bodhisattva. The interpretation of who is a true Bodhisattva is very important because a lot of people don't understand. They think that if you aspire to become a Sammāsambuddha, then you are a Bodhisattva. This is too general a term. You must have some special prerequisite and condition behind. First, you must have at least have the understanding, and you must also determine sincerely that this is what you truly wanted. This is how it can help you develop the understanding of the way or the realization of the Dhamma leading to enlightenment and liberation. All these are very important. Bodhi means enlightenment. Satta means a being. So technically, a Bodhisattva is an enlightened being walking the Bodhisattva way to become a Sammāsambuddha. Of course, there are two types of Bodhisattvas. The first type is the one who has the condition to become Bodhisattva because they know this way is beautiful and they have the prerequisite qualities. But most of the time, those who have the condition already have the ability to become enlightened. Or they have already realized the enlightenment in their past existence. Then they have the condition to continue their cultivation to this present life because they love this way. But because of eons and eons of birth and death, they would have forgotten who they were because the Bodhisattva vows and the Bodhisattva way that they have been cultivating are not stable yet. Finally, they will come back to it. But it will take a long time. You don't have the proper right guidance and understanding. The second type are the ones who are still not enlightened as yet, but they have good teachers and guides who can advise them on how to take the vow to walk this way. They will advise you, and when you have the condition to take the Bodhisattva vow, you must do it immediately. This is because you have to plant the seed of Bodhi early. You plant the enlightenment thought into your nature. The Bodhi seed can only be planted into the nature after you have taken the vows sincerely, with faith and understanding. Once planted firmly, it will manifest whenever you arise, and it will bring forth the way, the causes and conditions for you to connect to your nature, your true nature. Because of your refuge, your understanding, and firm aspiration or determination or affirmation. With this, the first stage of Bodhi mind development has been initiated. So, making the first move to develop the Bodhi mind development is very important. It is stated in the teaching, the sutta, the complete fulfillment of the Sammāsambuddha Bodhisattva way have five stages of Bodhi mind development. And stage one is relatively easy. You must have the understanding, the faith, the sincerity and the perseverance to go this way based on clear firm understanding. Then you take the vow you determine and you plant the seed of Bodhi until the Bodhi mind become very, very stable, until it can nurture itself. It can bring forth the way and the causes and conditions for you to connect to your nature life after life whenever you arise. All these are possible because you have the faith. You, out of love and compassion, take the Bodhisattva vow. Then you took refuge in the Triple Gem. Then with your understanding, you make firm aspiration and affirmation or adhitan for all this type of understanding to arise whenever you come or you choose to come or you have to come. So all these are very beautiful understanding. So the first stage of Bodhi mind development is very easy. Just make the decision, affirmation, then take the vow and plant the seed of Bodhi. So when you do that, the first stage of Bodhi mind development has been initiated and you can walk the path. All these conditions will connect you back to your Bodhisattva way cultivation. One who has taken the vow is known as a Bodhisattva, whereas the Patimokkha or normal precepts that the monk and the nun take ceases at death. But Bodhisattva vows extend to future life because you vow life after life to perfect this vow until Samasa Buddhahood is realized. There are two traditions of these Bodhisattva vows. They are Buddhist tradition. One originating from Asanga and the other one from Nagarjuna. Nagarjuna is Longsu Pusa. Asanga is also a very great Bodhisattva. The Bodhisattva vow is also found at the end of the Avatamsaka Sutta or Samantarabhadra Bodhisattva Pusen Pusa. So this sutra of Samantara Bodhisattva or Pusen Pusa is what the Avatamsaka Sutta is all about. It is explained that the Bodhisattva vow are to be taken with the following two famous verse from that sutta. The verse is, you listen, I think those who have taken the vow will be familiar, but those who have yet or intend, you better listen, because this is very important. You have to recite. Just as all previous Sugatas are previous Samasambuddhas, who have generated the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplished all stages of Bodhisattva training. So my nature too, for the sake of all living beings, generate the Bodhi mind of enlightenment and accomplish and vow to accomplish all the stages of Bodhisattva training. This affirmation is very powerful. Then after that, the promise to keep the Bodhisattva vow apply not only to this life, but in subsequent lifetimes, the full fulfillment of Samasa Buddhahood. Thus these vows continue in our mind stream to future life. Then in the Tibetan Buddhism, there are two lineage of Bodhisattva vows too. The first is associated with Chittamatra, a movement of the Indian tradition, and is said to have originated from Bodhisattva Maitreya and propagated by Asanga. The second one is associated with Mayamaka movement, and is said to have originated from Manjusri Bodhisattva Wensu Pusa, who is foremost in wisdom, propagated by Nagarjuna Longsu Pusa, and later on by Shantiveda. The main difference between the two lineage of Bodhisattva vow is that the Citta Matra lineage is more stringent. The vow cannot be taken or received by one who has not received the monks or nuns' precepts or the Patimokkha precepts. In taking this vow, you will join the hundreds of thousands of Buddhists in the West. In the West, it means the Western disciple of the Theravada tradition and some Mahayana tradition, where millions in Asia have done so. You are not the only few, and do not think you are the very few who walk this way, because Tsuchi itself also has had so many. All their members, all over the world, they go this way, they are Bodhisattvas. As is traditional, you may seek a Buddhist center or a temple to take the Bodhisattva vow in the presence of a teacher. You cannot do that. You can also take it at home. Create a sacred place or space where there are images of the Bodhisattvas or Buddhas who have gone forth before you. If you wish to invite friends, especially Dhamma friends, to be your witness, sit quietly for a while and reflect on the beauty and value of a life dedicated to the Bodhisattva way to benefit all sentient beings. When you are ready, add any meaningful ritual like lighting of candles, taking of refuge, and then recite your vows. Here is one traditional version, but there are many other versions. This is a typical Theravada tradition. They make it very general because this is normally done by people who are not very familiar with the Bodhisattva way. But anyway, it's a good guide. They recite this. Suffering beings are numerous or numberless. I vow to liberate them all. Attachment to suffering is inexhaustible. I vow to sever them all. Dhammadhos to truth are countless, and I vow to master them all and to perfect them all. The way of perfection leading to supreme enlightenment is very arduous. I vow to realize it and accomplish it. So this is a typical simplified way done by Theravada tradition, people who want to go this way. You can modify the language of this vow so that they speak very deep dedication. Then you can repeat them every time you sit in meditation to direct and delegate your cultivation or practice. You don't have to do this every time you sit in meditation. Maybe for the first 3 times or for the first 3 months, you keep going through all these vows, the yellow card, familiarize with them until you understand them deeply, so that every time you cultivate or after your meditation, you will invoke power of merits for you to have the understanding life after life whenever you come. On the 26th of April 2016, I will teach you all how to invoke all this, and the notes will be given to you all. You can keep them, refer to them off and on until they become very clear to you. So at that time, the yellow card was not printed yet. This is how the cultivation can bring forth great benefits. What I will do is, I will teach you all how to invoke the power of merits for you to develop the causes and conditions so that you will have this style of right Dhamma understanding life after life whenever you have to come or choose to come in the form of a living being or a form of mind. There are 2 things you must determine to understand. You must have right view with regards to the law of nature or karma niyama, Right view in regards to the law of dependent origination of paticca samuppada or citta niyama. And finally, right view with regards to the four number two, dhamma niyama, as taught by Lord Buddha and all the other samasambuddha. Also, to understand the two aspects of the five aggregates of form and mind via the direct seeing, to realize that they are all conditioned arising entity, causal phenomenon, hence impermanent, leading to suffering, not me, non-self, and empty. That these so-called living beings, or human beings, or the five aggregates of form and mind, it's just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for us to come to this existential world, to develop the cultivation and experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. So use it with wisdom to arise the right thought, right speech, and right action to be a blessing to all, and not to be deluded by it. To constantly recite this vow and affirmation with understanding, and to understand the following profound Dhamma is taught by Lord Buddha. We always chant this. Rupang anicam, rupang anatta, vedana anicam, vedana anatta, sanya anicam, sanya anatta, sankara anicam, sankara anatta, followed by vijnanam anicam, vijnanam anatta. Then the final summary, yeah. Sabbe sankara anicam, sabbe sankara dukkham, sabbe dhamma anatta. You can chant it in Pali or in whatever vibration to bring forth the understanding. You must cultivate until it's very clear, so that the moment you recite Rupang Anicam, you will understand what these words mean. It means all forms, whether physical or mental or external, manifested form, they are all impermanent. Whatever you see and reflect on and contemplate, straight away you can understand that is the ultimate cultivation. That's why I remember when I really have the complete understanding of the three characteristics of nature, that is what happened to my nature. The moment I recite, I reflect, I contemplate, the meaning is so clear that I look at any external form or physical form. And when I recite Rupang Anicang, I understood it completely. Yeah. So that is how cultivation is to be developed until very clear. Then from then onward, you will never regress life after life. You will have this understanding with you. When you come, you will connect very fast and you will have initially all the glimpses of all this cultivation coming back to you. I was so surprised with the fact that I was already probing the truth at such young age. I was very young then, maybe from four or five. During that time, I like to look at nature. Then when I look up at the sky, trees, plants, and all of nature, my mind was so quiet and still. Then I saw the flow and the movement within nature. At that time, I didn't understand what those things were. What was the significance of all this? How come I can see all this, which other people didn't pay attention and were just too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life? But this mind of mine was so different. He was constantly probing, inquiring, reflecting, and investigating. And he was just silent most of the time. And he could see all this. Later on, I came to realize that this was what I had cultivated before, the daily mindfulness. That's why it was so stable. Even before I know how to meditate, I already have this ability to be mindful in the midst of life. Then I came to realize that all this were connected with my past cultivation. This understanding has a lot to do with how one develops one's cultivation. That's why this teaching has been lost. And now we are trying to retrieve it or revive it. Then after that, I can even teach you how to develop this cultivation. Having developed the right view, then we make the vow as follows. This nature of mind vow to always keep the three sets of pure precept. We are following the advice of all Sama Sambuddha. The first set of pure precept is to avoid all evil and to develop the clear understanding of what constitutes evil. That is the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are major evils. The essential Dhamma must be clearly understood, otherwise no point chanting. When you chant the advice of the Buddha, avoiding all evil, do good, purifying the mind. Because they are only, most of the time, parroting. They do not know what constitutes evil. They must have mindfulness to be aware of their mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. You must see with mindfulness the five mental hindrance when they arise. Then you must understand how the non-arisen mental hindrance come to be. Then how, when you silence your mind and meditate, you will understand how the arisen mental hindrance is to be. Then after you have penetrated, realized, and awakened, you will know how in the future the unarisen mental hindrance cannot arise anymore. So this is what the Satipatthana practice is all about, and you will understand them. The second set of pure precept is to cultivate all virtues and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. So this is more elaborate than the usual advice of the Buddha. This is more than just parroting to avoid all evil and do good, etc. Here we are talking about cultivating all virtues and blessings leading to the perfection of them all. You do a lot more than what normal beings do. Then to cultivate wisdom, which is the third set of pure precept or the third advice of the Buddha, you need to purify your mind. You not only purify your mind, but also you vow to cultivate all wisdom so that you can liberate and take across all sentient beings. So these are the more elaborate practices after you have understood the advice of the Buddha very deeply. This means you have to penetrate all Dhamma. That's the reason why if you don't cultivate all this, it's very difficult to have real progress. Of course, the Buddha said the handful of leaf, which is the Four Noble Truths, is enough to liberate you. But you have to go beyond. You have to understand many things. Because cultivation is not only about cultivating the bare minimum of what is stated in the teaching, but also to cultivate extensive understanding, to walk this way with ease, so that you can do your work, fulfill your vow. Remember the Sutra of Infinite Meaning? Your cultivation has to be very, very extensive, covering all aspects of life and existence. You have gone through samsara, via repeated birth for so long, and you didn't know what type of karmic obstruction you have developed. That's the reason why you cannot understand, because you don't have the right view and extensive understanding. then you don't know what to do. That is also the reason why a lot of living beings suffer. This life, I helped many who suffered to come out of it through an understanding. How to ask for forgiveness, repentance, and all the rest. Then how to develop the vows not to repeat all these negativities of karma. Then how to invoke the power of truth or merits after you have repented. Cultivate according to the advice of the Buddha and arise the causes and conditions needed for all this karmic obstruction to be dissolved and for the karmic repercussion to be neutralized. Otherwise, it will continuously come and haunt you and obstruct you. Then it will be very difficult for you to find a way. You have to make aspiration for causes and conditions to avoid the foolish and the heedless, to meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so that Nibbana can be realized in the here and the now. All these are very vital. We will go through all this when it comes to the actual taking of the Buddhist. Okay, I will stop here. So now we will open up for Q&A, meditation reporting. Yeah.
Yes, brother.
Yes.
Here.
So you have any meditation reporting or question, or you want to say a few words or share whatever you have?
Share. Sadly to say, I think Brother Teo, my cultivation has gone to Holland already.
Don't worry, you have your parami with you. What you have done earlier on and your sincerity, they are still there. They will arise again when the condition is there. You are alone so far. And of course, now we have the benefits of the website and all things. So if you still have the determination, the faith, the sincerity and the perseverance, you can spend more time listening to the Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, develop the initial wisdom, follow Avijja Sutta. Then you are ready. My advice is take the vow. Because the vow will drive you. Then follow my advice to do the daily religious routine to stabilize your cultivation. You know about the religious routine, eh? Every morning,
yeah.
When you wake up, before you sleep, and in between, you meditate for a while, then determine to be mindful throughout the day. All the very beautiful cultivation.
Because 2 weeks ago, I have this feeling that I need to take the vows.
Sadhu, yes.
And then
the condition is there.
Because I was like drifting, and then I just need to take the vow. Got in touch with Miss Lee.
Sadhu, she can help you, Miss Lee.
Then she say, now we're doing this. So I thought, it's a good time to come back. She did ask me to talk to you or write to you.
You can write to me through the email.
I thought I would text you or write to you, but I felt that I was not ready because I have not read
this book.
I read it long time ago.
Now you go through, it's different again, isn't it? Compared to last time.
Haven't finished yet also.
I know, at least today sharing, it appear like a lot of these things that I go through again, like you never heard it before, isn't it?
I said, what was I doing previously?
Means you don't have the condition to have that understanding as yet. Not only you, a lot of those who took the vow also said, they told me how He transformed them and changed them. And how later on, after they took the vow, they determined, they developed the understanding. Then they read again, different again. A lot of Kayamita, the Heart Sutta, they read the meaning different, the understanding different. Then this Bodhisattva way read different again. The transcript will read different again. Then they listen to the sharing different again, because as you understand, you develop the progress. Then through the progress, the Dhamma flower, the Dhamma can penetrate deeper. Earlier on, most of you are not ready. You don't have the condition to penetrate or understand all of the sharing that I have given to you. In fact, my nature was ahead of time. When it came that time to 2004, when I started sharing, the people who came to the class, they were not ready, hardly anybody. So at that time, I did hinted, whoever who can understand even 10% of what I share, he is already very, very good. But that time was not easy. Most of them were so conditioned their mind. They were doing thought-based meditation. They don't know what sati is, what mindfulness is, what the true mind is. That's why without their understanding, how can they meditate? How can they progress? How can they do the actual training? So all this is very important, very beautiful. So not too late. So you slowly, with this condition, you will be able to gain back all those that you have started early on. Then from there, you grow. Most important thing is to have this treating. Faith, strong faith, sincerity, then just do, persevere. Everything will unfold. The whole Bodhisattva way will unfold. Yeah. Then your Dhamma will become very, very different. Your Dhamma understanding.
I think I lack the perseverance.
Yeah.
How do I go?
Very easy. You listen. I ask you maybe 2 or 3 questions and you will know. First question is, do you value your life? Do you value your life? Where's your life?
Yes.
Now you definitely value, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if you value your life, the next question is, you must understand what is the most important thing in life. What is the most important thing in life? You must have this Dhamma understanding, isn't it? Otherwise, you suffer. You become miserable. And you have gone through life for so long. And while you were with us sharing, you have your own maybe share of the ups and downs of life and whatever in between the problem that you have. You witness them. You confronted them. Then you realize the Dhamma is the only solution to all this. So after you have recognized the importance of learning this teaching, because it not only can help you liberate your mind, become enlightened, it solves all your problems. No more suffering after that. No more delusion. Then you understand life. You get to live life to the fullest. You can be a blessing to all. There is so much joy, so much peace, so much understanding. You are most of the time heedful, aware, tranquil, no longer heedless. That is the life that you will have. If I were you, I go all out to learn this teaching. That's how the faith and the understanding bring forth the virya. This is the most important thing in life to me. If I don't understand this teaching, when I was young, I think 4, 4, 5, I already tell myself what for I come to this world. I love myself. I cherish my life. if I come to this world to suffer, what for? I am wasting my life. So this is fundamental, most important. That's why I went all out to cultivate, to develop the understanding, to perfect the understanding. And at the age of 35, everything just happened. You can say, I'm lucky, I have my partner, but that one is irrelevant. What is most important thing is the two questions that you ask. Do you love yourself? Is your life important? If your life is important, what is the most important thing that you must have to have a good life? So this will definitely drive you. Understand? Unless you see the importance of this teaching, you will not go all out. You will not sacrifice. You will think, yeah, never mind, later. You will procrastinate. To me, like Po Cheng, they all experience and they realize life is very short. You cannot like assume that we are going to live very long. That's why I contemplate on Marana Nusati, on death. Death is a reality. Death is a certainty. Life is full of uncertainty when you don't have the Dhamma. But when you have the Dhamma, life is meaningful, wonderful. Then you can develop all of the beauty and wonders of life. You can experience them all. And you can develop this understanding to liberate your mind, to free your mind, to perfect all the wisdom, understanding, and virtue to understand life. Then life takes a turn and become meaningful. So if this is what you want, then it will drive you. It will give you that virya to go this way. That's why I went all out. Nothing is more important than this. Can you understand? Huh?
So, it's sometimes we need a little bit of encouragement.
Yeah, you must set your priority in life correctly. Your priority is what?
Yeah.
If you choose to continue with the way you live your life, you check. Where will it end? You become what? Do you really understand? Because life is not just gong gong lai, gong gong tua, gong gong si. You know Hokkien, isn't it?
Yes.
Everything also gong one. Without Dhamma, without wisdom, everything is a gong gong one. Means you don't know what is happening. You didn't live life, the thought live your life. Yeah, most of the time, if you don't have the Dhamma and the cultivation, you are heedless. You think a lot, you worry a lot. Yeah. Your sankhara, your mental hindrance are very strong. Your spiritual faculty are not stable. You don't have heedfulness. You don't have clarity of mind. You are not mindful. You are not aware. You cannot understand many things. You don't even have self-knowledge of who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being, and how your mundane mind still react and create all this entanglement to make you miserable, unhappy.
Okay.
So all this, you listen again to this sharing, it will help you, not only you, other kaya mita who has not developed the understanding to be serious about life. Because at the age of, I think, Form 4 was about 15 or 16 years old, 1971, I remember that year. I just going through Form 5. I make that determination all out. I was exposed to that book, The Four Noble Truths. Somebody, my classmate sister, gave to me that first book, What Buddhist Belief, first edition, our late K. Sri Damananda, Dr. K. Sri Damananda. That was a very beautiful book. And when I realized that the Buddha's teaching was just so beautiful, the Four Noble Truths, there was no turning back, because I knew this is the truth that I was looking for. So when I understand this truth, I become noble ones, enlightened ones. Yeah. And these are the noble truths that can allow me to understand life, both the mundane and supramundane, completely. And I don't have to worry about life anymore. And my mind is free, liberated. That's the reason why this teaching is so unique and the Buddha is so unique. Out of love and compassion for living beings, he cultivated, perfected himself and gave the world free this type of teachings, the Dhamma. So do reflect, do contemplate, listen to all this, make the affirmation. Unless you plant the seed of Bodhi and make the affirmation, you will not change. Because this is the most important thing in life. Without this, every samsaric experience is suffering and misery. If you love yourself, if you really have the understanding, is that what you want, you ask. So your priority, set it right. Okay, so?
Yep.
I think you can do it already, no problem. Huh?
I hope so. Another question I need to ask.
Yes.
Does having a right view be able to get rid of one's habitual tendency?
Okay. Based on what you asked, my answer is yes, you have the Dhamma. Because right view is relative. Right view, right thought, right speech, right action is relative. According to who? That is very important. Before you have the Dhamma, means before you are enlightened, all these views are your personal views and opinion of right view, right according to you. But what we are talking about is the Dhamma cultivation, right in accordance with the nature's law that governs life and existence. Means the first one is law of karma, right view with regards to law of karma. It's not my right view. It's I understand that there is such a law. Because the Buddha says so, not I say so. Then I investigated, then I realized, yeah, all my life reflect clearly this law. The Buddha say, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. And we reap what we sow. Do good, we get good. Do evil, we get evil. So once I understand all this, what must I do? I must determine to take care of karma. Because my life depends entirely on karma. I am born of it. Heir to it means I inherit the whole of it. Then I am conditioned and supported by it. And I am what I am now. Every moment, every instant is because of that karmic nature. So if I don't take care of karma, my life will be completely in a mess, ruin. Then how do I take care of karma? The karma say, I reap what I sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. If I plant the seed of wholesomeness, I reap the fruit of wholesomeness. If I plant the seed of evil, I reap the fruit of evil. So my life depends on that. That's why to do that, I must take the advice of the Buddha very seriously. Well, the advice of the Buddha to all sentient beings is you have to avoid all evil. Then cultivate goodness wherever there is condition. Then purify your mind to develop wisdom. So if that is the advice, then if I follow the advice of the Buddha, I am on the path of Dhamma. I will have this teaching. I will be able to avoid all evil, do good, and purify my mind so that I will not be deluded. I can liberate my mind. I will have the good life. That if I plant the seed of virtue, wholesomeness, I will reap the fruit of virtue. And that is what life is all about. Choose. The choice is yours. Each and every one of us, we hold the key to our own life destiny. If we don't know how to choose, then we will suffer. So when we know that to be happy or to be miserable is entirely our choice, then we must know how to make the right choice. We choose to go this Dhamma way. We choose to be happy. We follow Dhammapada verse 2, not Dhammapada verse 1. So that is the answer. That's why I say yes and no. Right view, if you have the Dhamma, then yes, it will clear your habitual tendency. You will not get entangled. And your mind state becomes very beautiful. You are always mindful, heedful. There is clarity. There is Dhamma. There is understanding. But if you don't train, don't cultivate, don't have the Dhamma, and you think with right view, you can overcome habitual tendency, there is no way, because the user of thought is very important. If the user of thought is without wisdom, without Dhamma, whatever it arises is always wrong thought. So you must make sure the user of our form and mind means our understanding of life is there. Without Dhamma, you cannot understand. So right view, it is not according to Dhamma understanding, it's a relative right view, right according to the individual, and that one cannot solve your problem. That one cannot remove habitual tendency. That one can lead to more entanglement and delusion, because the mundane mind, which don't have the wisdom, is always selfish, egoic, fearful, have a lot of doubt, a lot of mental hindrance. And because of that, it will act according to memory, your views, your opinion, and your conditioning, and your phobia. So all those are negativity of mind state that brings about negative karma, karmic downfall. How can it help you clear your habitual tendency and change your life? Impossible. So with that, I think it should be clear enough for you. Huh? So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Sadhu. Brother Teo.
Yeah.
Kami Tofo, Brother Teo, Mrs.
Yeah,
Teo,
Kami Tofo, yes.
Sayamitas, and yeah. Sister Su,
yeah.
For nominating me. Thank you for this opportunity. I'm very glad to hear from Sister Su and her interest in cultivating the Bodhisattva way. So it's I mean, based on my understanding and experience, it's very rarely helpful in my cultivation. Yes, a lot of unexpected things can happen, you know, if you have the faith, sincerity, and perseverance. Yes. So I mean, just now I heard you saying, how do you get back on track in this cultivation after a long time not in the practice or so-called cultivation? Actually at one time, based on my experience, at one time I was also not doing much other than clearing my thoughts, doing my so-called I didn't do much Dhamma cultivation, you know. I just sit quietly and clear all my rubbish in my mind, you know. That's all I do, you know. I just sit down, relax, and clear my rubbish, you know. Whatever inside, I just clear, throw, you know. That's all I do, you know, for a period of time, you know. Yeah, because I was having a lot of so-called life life, how should I say it? Life, I won't say issue, lah, but life, day-to-day issues that I have to handle.
Yeah, day-to-day issues, situation. Yeah.
Life situation or condition that I have to have the urgency to do, lah, to deal with it,
deal
to
with
manage. So I don't have much time to think about Dharma cultivation, you know. So that's all I do. But I find that by doing just sitting down quietly every day, I will do that. I will do it 3 times a day, you know. I just do that to clear all my thoughts and like a clearing of rubbish like that, you know.
Yeah.
After that now,
yeah.
Yes. But after that now, I sort of like get my life back to normalcy, you know. I start my cultivation again, I find it very, very helpful, you know.
Yeah.
And I say, oh my God, this is it's very good. Actually, it's like almost like daily mindfulness, you know, in a way, you know.
Yeah.
Clearing all the rubbish in the brain, you know, the mind is full of rubbish, you know. Yeah, it was so effective. It's like my brain, a lot of things thrown out is much lighter, you know, at the end of the day, you know. Every day you do that, wow, marvelous. So that I did, you know. That I didn't do anything else except that. At one point in time, I was just doing that, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, that's what I do, you know, because I had a lot of rubbish in the brain, so throw that out, throw. Yeah.
You continue, So
at one point, I also, after I kind of like ready to cultivate again, my Dharma understanding is a lot better, in the sense that I can relate my life to the Dharma, like example, right? I don't think about the past, I don't think about the future, I only think about the present, you know, for example, this one. Because you already throw away all the rubbish, right? So why do you want to think about the past? Why do you want to think about the future? And so the present is the best that you can think, you know? So that is so good, yes. So it comes to you, the Dharma comes to you, you know, when you kind of settle down, ready to pursue the Dharma again. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. To declutter one's mind from all this rubbish. Yeah.
Yes. That's
good,
what
good,
I do.
Good advice. Thank you.
Yeah. So it's not just the house is full of rubbish. I also have a lot of rubbish in my house. I also have a lot of rubbish in my brain.
So based on what Po Cheng shared is very good, you can also recall what I share with you all for people who have problem, cannot develop the meditative mind. The first thing you have to do is to do the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking. When you do it, you only feel relaxed. Feel relaxed means most of the time your mind don't think anymore, silent. So that exercise alone can help. It's just like what Po Cheng go through. He just relax and silence his mind. He follow exactly what I say, maintain awareness. Then let the mind become quiet, peaceful, and still. Then he realized the true mind. That's why he progressed very far. Then after that, he can understand what I share. Then he follow almost word for word all the advice, the daily religious routine, the Bodhisattva vow. Then he become very serious, the faith, the sincerity, the perseverance. Then he contemplate on death, maranusati, life is very short, and he determined to develop the understanding. That's how she break through, and she connect back. Then she realized when the mind has this faith and understanding, then when it develop the daily religious routine and the meditation and the determination to be mindful, aware, and the Bodhisattva vow, all this actually supported her and transformed her. And she was very, very surprised that suddenly her understanding came and she was able to report very beautiful sharing. That's why the experiences that she went through, her mind transformed. And the most impressive one is the silent mind. She can really comprehend and develop the understanding because she went into it. She was patient. And when she was able to develop it, she realized everything that I share come from that silent mind. That's why she can follow. That everything is understood, because after that, the daily mindfulness also come. The daily mindfulness like become very natural to her, because she located the gateway that was the one that speed up a lot of things, and he stabilized his own true mind, the silent mind. So that is the one that makes the big difference to her cultivation. So try the mind sweeping method, so it will help. It will help you to decondition your heedless thinking. It's like overhaul the whole thing, the rubbish. Where the heedless thinking is based on the mental hindrance, conditioned by the mental hindrance. And also because you lack spiritual faculty, that's why you think a lot, the lack of peace. It hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So all this you will start to understand when you do it. Mind sweeping method.
Yes.
All of the
blue.
Okay, Pucheng, continue.
Yeah, just like Brother Teo said, when I start back my cultivation, right, I actually did exactly what Brother Teo, instructed, the four support, just do that. You know, I also used the mind sweeping method when my spiritual faculties was not there yet, not established yet. So it's really, really, for me, it's really, really helpful, to give you the inner peace, the calmness that you need for your meditation, your formal meditation. Yeah. And of course, after that, when I come out from my meditation, I also do the daily mindfulness. I try to be very mindful of my actions, my action, I kind of anchored to my mind is anchored to my action. That's very important, so that you don't think all the rubbish again, So without the thinking, the so-called chattering mind, it helps to develop your mindfulness much faster in that way. Yeah, so I will do that. Keep on practicing. Sometimes you may have things that detour you, but you can always remind yourself to come back again. Sometimes you get distracted also. Yes, yeah, it's very natural because of our six sense doors. So many things are happening around us. Your family, the media and everything, it's a distraction sometimes, but of course you need to have priority, lah. Of course, family relationship is very important. Yeah. You cannot just say, oh, I'm doing my daily mindfulness, please don't disturb, that kind of thing. So sometimes you have to give attention to what is needed, fit for attention, you must provide the attention, like family, your parents, your siblings. These are important things that you want to focus beside your own cultivation. That's very important to me. And also like what Brother Teo always advise is the religious routine, the spiritual routine is very important. Yes, it really helps me to develop a very strong faith that is unwavering, for many years, I find that the faith in the Triple Gem is number one. Without that, I don't think I can continue this way. I will be suffering instead of enjoying the journey as I cultivate. Yes, that is a difference. If you don't have that, you'll be suffering trying to cultivate. Because you have a lot of happiness when you are. You have the strong faith. No matter what happened, whatever trouble you face in life, you are still happy in that sense. Yeah. You know what is going on. You have the right Dhamma understanding to help you along, Yeah. That is how I feel, yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Actually, there's a lot of things in life that we can share, but just for Miss Sister Su, so to get you back is your religious routine, your mind sweeping method, because you want to develop your formal meditation plus your daily mindfulness, you see. If you have some formal meditation plus daily mindfulness, it will really help to speed up things, you know. But if you just have formal meditation and without the daily mindfulness, maybe it's not so stable also, you know. Yeah. I mean, it can speed up your understanding better. In that sense, and plus, you attend Brother Teo class, when you share your meditation, your daily mindfulness, whatever activities that happen, you know, your experience, you can learn a lot from him as well, because it shortens your so-called training, you know. Yeah. You don't have to like try to figure out yourself, you know, because Brother Teo has experience, had went through all kind of, experiences that he can share with us, so we can tap on his brain, his skillful means to help us, you know, to figure out a lot of things. Yeah, in fact, a lot of things we kind of know, but we cannot put it into words because we are still new in all these kind of things.
In the understanding, yeah.
Yeah, in the understanding. So I find that you know, it kind of speed up my training, you know, a lot of things. We have to figure out, you know, but it helps that somebody had went through it and we have confidence, you know, that's important.
Yeah.
Because we went through it, and let's say everybody don't know what we went through, then we don't have the confidence that, oh dear, what is this, you know, nobody give us the confidence. So Brother Teo, in a way, give us a lot of confidence, you know, that this is the right path that we have taken, you know, and we are developing in the right path as well. So that is very important to me as well. Yes. Thank you, Brother Teo.
Thank you. Thanks for the good sharing and at that point. So coming back to you, I remind you a bit to recap what we have gone through. First thing is ask yourself this question. Do you love yourself and what is the most important thing in life? Then when you understand that this teaching is so important, because this teaching decides your entire life. So if you want to have a good life, you must see the importance of this teaching. Then when you see the importance, you will go all out to cultivate. Then whatever that Po Ching share with you will fall into place. And whatever that you have developed in the past will come back to you. Then your faith will drive you to have the virya, the perseverance, the spiritual zeal to go this way, to cultivate. Then you will develop sati, the spiritual faculty, and you will progress. So all this will fall into place. Okay, so?
Yes, thank you, Brother Sadhu.
Okay, so thank you for all the good condition and the sharing. I think I have to end, because today I have to stop early. Yeah? So yes. Once again, can we all rejoice? Sadhu, 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 with all the good sharing. Then today's sharing is very good. The Dhamma itself, the Bodhisattva way, and the explanation is very clear. Then Su created the condition for the Kayamita who has not made the decision to go this way, to really develop the understanding so that they can also go this way, so that they can also transform their understanding and make a big difference to their life, change for the better, so that they will see the beauty of this teaching. And when they understand the importance and sees the beauty, they will go all out to cultivate. And this is very natural. We are involved our life, our existence. If you are not serious about life, you don't love ourselves, then nobody can help you. But if you are serious about life and you love yourself, you will go all out to develop this understanding.